Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see each and every one of you today. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. How many of you enjoyed At the Movies? Yeah. So one of the things that we're going to do a little bit different now that we're out of At the Movies is our podcast will continue. And so one of the things we do almost every Sunday morning is we just give a special welcome to all those who will be listening online later today and later this week. Let's give them a big welcome. We appreciate those that are able to be ministered to through the ministry of this church online. And so we love you guys. Well, today we are starting a brand new series entitled The Blessed Life, the blessed life. If you've got in your service guide is a sermon outline, I encourage you to pull that out. Follow along with us, take some notes. There's some fill in the blanks here, but let me start. So just so you know, if this is your first or second time here, we like to do a lot of talking back to each other, all right? So this isn't a place where you just kind of chill out and be quiet. Where I'm going to ask you some questions. So just let your neighbor know questions are okay. Come on, tell your neighbor questions are okay. Yeah, all right. All right, how many of you would say that God has blessed you and that you are living a pretty blessed life? If God has blessed you, you're living a pretty blessed life. Raise your hands. All right, that's probably 85, 90% of us. All right. Now be honest. There's no shame in admitting this morning, right? How many of you would also say, though, I'd love to be even more blessed than I am right now? Come on, don't lie. Some of you are lying right in church right now. All right. I think that if we're being truthful, all of us in this room would agree that more of God's blessing, that more of His favor on our lives would be an amazing and incredible and a very good thing. And so if we want to be more blessed, then we should look closely at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. This is what it says. It says, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus." So now who's saying what we're about to read? Come on, guys. Who's saying what we're about to read, all right? These are words that Jesus said. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So Jesus said, if you want to be more blessed, and that was most of us in this room today, the secret is found in giving. It's found in our generosity. And because so many of us in this room, we use human reasoning, we tend to believe that the way to be more blessed is to get more. How many of you ever thought, well, if I got that promotion and the raise that came with it, I'd be more blessed, right? Have you ever thought that? I'm surely not the only one in the room. I've thought it. It's all right. I'm not going to yell at you, okay? All right. We mistakenly assume that the way to be more rested is to not invest our time serving. We think that by not using our talents and our spiritual giftings to help others, that if we don't do that stuff, then we won't be as stressed out. We think that by not following God's financial plan, that we'll have more to save and we'll have more to spend on ourselves, and therefore we'll have greater peace of mind and greater security. But in order to really experience the blessed life, to live the abundant life that Jesus talked about, we must learn to be generous in three areas: with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. Most of us can probably remember as children the night before Christmas. How many of you remember, you know, being 7, 8, 9 years old, the night before Christmas? And how many of you would, if you're anything like me, you'd have trouble falling asleep because of the anticipation of the gifts that we might receive, right? The list that we wrote out for grandma and grandpa, and the list we wrote out for mom and dad. And how many of you remember the Toys R Us catalog that came out? And you would circle all the things that we wanted. And there was one year my boys, I think everything in the boys section was circled. That's what they wanted for Christmas. Or for those of us maybe that are a little bit older, remember the huge Sears catalog that would come? Yeah, Deb got excited right there. He remembered me. Yeah. All right. But for me, if you're anything like me, as I grew older and into my teen years, while I never stopped liking the receiving of gifts, I'll be honest, that feeling of anticipation, that feeling of excitement would wane a little bit more each year. But I'll never forget the first Christmas that I spent with Shyla after we had been dating for about a year. And it was as if magically that year everything changed. I could hardly sleep on Christmas Eve night once again. But it wasn't because of what I was going to get, but it was because of the numerous special gifts that I bought for the girl that I was in love with. And so I bought all these gifts, and I bought her this beautiful ruby promise ring, and I didn't tell anyone about it. I slipped it under the tree to be opened with my immediate family's Christmas. And I think when Charlotte grabbed that gift and opened it, my dad almost choked and had a heart attack that day. I was so excited that day, not for what I was about to receive, but it was because of what I was giving. And in reflecting about that Christmas, the reality of Jesus' words that we just read became crystal clear to me. I was far more blessed by giving than I was by receiving. And I believe that as a church and as individuals, if we can internalize this truth, it will transform and revolutionize our lives. And so I want you to follow along, take some notes with us, fill in the blanks. The first blank, it's really the main thought for this message this morning, is this: the key to living a blessed life is having a heart of generosity. It's having a heart of generosity. Everybody say generosity. If you want to be more blessed, the blessing will be unlocked when we learn to become more generous. Here's a great verse of scripture, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. It says this: give freely. Now, I just want to pause here, and we're going to break this verse up a little bit. But using basic math, it's almost a no-brainer to us, right? Like, if I give freely, then I'm going to have less. How many of you does that make sense to? Like, if I give something away, I have less. I'm going to have less time. I'm going to have less money. I'm going to have less freedom. But going on, I want you to watch what happens. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. I think everybody likes the sound of that, right? Become more wealthy. Addition by subtraction doesn't make sense in our world. The verse continues on. It says, be stingy. So in other words, we could give, right? But for whatever reason, we decide not to. It says, be stingy and lose what? Everything. So one man gives freely and gains more, and the other holds back and loses everything. Skipping down to verse 25, it says this: the generous will prosper. Everybody say prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And listen, God's systems, his ways, they don't always make sense from a human perspective. How many of you found that to be true? Right, I've seen this happen in my life over and over again. You know, I'll have a crazy busy week and tons of meetings and tons of situations going on in people's lives. And I was up too late helping, you know, in this situation. I was doing, and I'm just tired, right? And it's Tuesday night and it's life group night. How many of you ever been there? Like, you wake up and it's time for life group, but I'm just tired, right? You're sitting at work all day. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I don't really want to show up to group. You know what? I'll just cancel group. Anybody ever here hosted a group and thought, maybe I'll just cancel today? Come on. Thank you, Liana. Thank you. She was tracking with me. So two honest people in the room, all right? Right? So we, you know, I just want to cancel, and should I give up? And I'm like, no, I told these people we're going to be doing this. And so what'll happen is I'll show up and we'll start talking and we'll start encouraging one another. And it's like, you know, it ends and it's like, boom, I walk out and I'm more alive than I was when I came in. It's almost like I drank 15 Red Bulls, and I don't drink a lot of caffeine. So if I drank 15 Red Bulls, it would be a pretty scary sight, right? But I walk God, I'm full of life because, listen, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And so the key to this blessed life is found in having a generous heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the Apostle Paul is writing, and this is what he said. He said, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now watch this, verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. Don't give in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives what? cheerfully. Cheerfully, that word cheerful in the Greek, maybe a little bit better English translation would be the word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver, and this is the person. A cheerful giver is the person who goes, you know what? Wow, I get to give. I get to serve. I get to host a life group. I get to come in on Sunday morning and set up a school and turn it into a church so people can walk in and experience Jesus. I'm so blessed that I get to give. That's how you know if you're a cheerful giver or not. And so when we learn to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure cheerfully, I want you to know this. God has made us some amazing promises. Reading on in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says this. Watch this. In God might. No. God could. No. God will generously provide all you need. All you need. Watch this, verse 11, just a couple of verses later, it goes on to say, yes, you will be enriched in every way. Turn to your neighbor and say, you'll be enriched in every way if you'll be generous. Listen, this isn't just referring to financial or materialistic blessings. God wants to bless us with relational riches. He wants to help us build healthy marriages. He wants to give us deep, lifelong, life-giving, sustaining friendships. God can bless us physically. I've often wondered, I don't know if any of you have ever thought about this, about how many accidents and illnesses God has protected and saved me from that I literally had no idea could have or was just about to occur. God can bless our careers. In my own life, I've seen God open a door to do something that I love, but really based on my education, I had no business doing the job. God wants to bless us. And so Paul tells us, he says, you will be enriched in every way. And that enrichment doesn't come to our lives so that we can kick back and consume it all for ourselves. Instead, Paul goes on to tell us the reason. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in every way, watch this, so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Anybody here know somebody who's generous? Let me see your hands. Anybody here know someone who's generous, right? Do you like being around them? I've never, ever heard someone say, that person is so generous, I can't stand being by them. No, we want to be near them. We do exactly what this scripture was talking about. We thank God. We thank God that they're in our lives. We thank God for their generosity to us. And that's what God wants to do through each and every one of us in this room, because our generosity opens the door for God's favor to be active in our lives. And when that happens, the byproduct is that people want to be around us. So when it comes to generosity, there are really three mindsets that we can allow to govern our life. And so I want to set up this first mindset by asking this question. If we know that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, then how come we're not more generous? If we know that Jesus said that, if we know that it's written in his word, then how come so many of us struggle in this area? And I believe the answer can be found in the fact that so many people live in this first mindset. I want you to write it down. Number one, it's the bag mindset. The bag mindset says, I do not have enough. Make it really plain for you this morning. Pastor, I'd love to serve, but I'm just too busy. I'd love to give to that cause. I'd love to support those missions. I'd love to support ARC. I'd love to be involved in the community outreach the church is doing. I'd love to give, but we just don't have enough, Pastor, to be generous. And so sadly, many of us can relate to these words that were written by the prophet found in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Watch this. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. How many of you ever thought that's how your wages went, right? Like you're putting it in, and it's just coming out as fast. Like, God, I know I put something in here. Where is it, God, right? And the reason that so many of us live in this is, and struggle with this, most of the reason we struggle with these things that the prophet is writing about is because we're living with a bag mindset. And so we grab our little bag and we take it and we hold it close and we hold on to it. And we're like, this is my bag, this is my bag. And God, this is what, I've got to hold it close. I can't share, I can't give, I can't serve, right? Then what happens? We get to the end of the month and there's nothing left. We get to the end of the month and there's more days in the month than there is stuff in the bag that's left, and no matter how hard you try, there really is never anything left over. Whatever comes in seems to go right out, and it can be so frustrating, right? I don't know if any of you have ever lived in this season, right? But anytime like you feel like, hey man, I'm starting to get ahead, we're starting to make progress, we're starting to turn the corner, right? Something else breaks down, right? You know, the transmission goes out on the car. The hot water heater breaks. The wash machine goes down. Like, anybody relate to this, right? I'm living with a bag that has holes in it. And as much as I'd like to be generous, I can't because there's never, never enough. In the New Testament, one of the saddest stories that you'll read in Scripture is about a man who was into the bag mindset. His name was Judas. He was actually one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And Judas was in charge of the money. He carried the money bag around. He was well-versed on all things financial. And one time a woman came before Jesus to worship him. She broke open a bottle of perfume. This wasn't like the $4 Axe that makes you choke when somebody sprays it in the room. Come on, somebody. She broke open this box of perfume. They tell us that this box was so valuable, it was worth an entire year's worth of wages. She breaks this box, anoints Jesus with this. She does all of this just to worship Jesus. And Judas standing by, he cries out, no, don't do that. Imagine what we could do with that money if we sold it instead. Imagine the things that we could do. He was consumed by what was in the bag. And it wasn't long after that he did what so many of us do today. He betrayed Jesus over 30 pieces of silver. He gave up his calling. He gave up his future potential over a bag of coins. So many of us are more concerned about what's in the bag than we are with honoring God in our lives. I'd love to serve, but I'm just so busy. Pastor, you just don't understand. My kid's going to school, and I've got these activities, and gosh, I'm getting fat. I've got to work out, and I need my me time. There's just not enough hours, Pastor, in the day. Where does the time go? It's like there's holes in my bag. Or man, Christmas is coming. Our vacation's right around the corner. The budget's tight. I'd really love to give the way God's called us to give, but this bag is all I've got, and I just can't let go of it. I want you to hear me this morning. So many of us are living beneath our blessing. We're living beneath the life that God's called us to because we're operating our lives and we're clutching and we're holding on to the bag mindset. The second one, if you're taking notes, so much better, so much fun. You're like, man, when will he change the subject? I'm tired of that one, right? Number two, it's the basket mindset. The basket mindset. The people that live with the basket mindset, they believe that God is an abundant God and that we can trust him and that no matter how much we give, how much we serve, God will always provide more than enough. In Luke Chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus was teaching and he illustrates this mindset perfectly when he said, "Give and you will receive." Watch this. "Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back." Now, in this passage, Jesus was talking to a group of people, the vast majority of whom their livelihood depended on agriculture and farming and raising and selling crops. And so this verse was referring to something that was actually an extremely common occurrence in their culture. They knew exactly what he was meaning. See, what would happen is when harvest time would come, there were two kinds of bad people. There were two kinds of people with baskets who would gather grain. First, there were the day laborers. These were the ones that this was their 9-to-5, so to speak, job. It was their job to collect their harvest. And often what would happen is these workers, they would take their basket. Of course, it was much bigger than this, but they would only fill it 3/4 of the way full because they wanted to make it easier on themselves as they had to carry it to wherever the collection point was, maybe even a couple 300, 400, 500 yards away. All right, so that was the first group, but there was a second type of gatherer, and this gatherer was the beneficiary of the master. They were the beneficiary of the landowner's kindness. This group was made up of poor people who didn't have much. And so the master would show his generosity by saying to them, "You're welcome to fill your baskets with whatever has fallen to the ground and been left over." And so these people, you have to understand, they were hungry, they were starving. If they didn't get this, they didn't eat. And so they would come and they would get down on the ground and they would fill up their basket. But they would do it very differently than the workers did. They would take that basket and they would fill it with the grain that had fallen on the ground. And they wouldn't just fill it 75% full like the workers did. No, they do it with good measure. They'd press it down. They'd shake it to get all of the air out. They'd shake it, man. They'd shake that thing. They'd push it down to collect as much as they possibly could. And watch what would happen as they would go home, as they would head back to home. The basket would be so full that it would literally be spilling all around them as they walked their way towards home. Because of the master's generosity, their baskets would overflow. And I want you to understand this morning, anything that we preach when it comes to giving and when it comes to serving, it's not because we want anything from you. We want God's best for you. And this is the kind of God that we serve. He is a God of abundance who wants us to live not clutching the bag, but learning to hold the basket and trust him. And when we learn to be faithful with the little, when we're faithful with what's in the bag, he will trust us with it. And it won't be long that this bag won't be enough. We'll need a basket, and even that will begin to overflow. I'm reminded of the story about the little boy who was listening to Jesus teach along with thousands of others. And on that particular day, I'm not sure if you've ever been in a service where this has happened, but Jesus got on a roll. And his sermon went really long. Anybody been in a service like that, right? And everybody's like, "Man, this is good, but I don't know about you. I'm not getting hungry. I'm getting hangry." Anybody ever get hangry right at church, right? That's not a good combination, right? And so they start asking around, and they start saying, "Hey, does anybody have any food?" So they search around, and all they could find was this little boy with his T-Rex branded lunchbox, right? Because they were out before then, right? So that was probably what was popular then. And he had this little T-Rex basket filled with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I want you to understand, if that little boy had the bag mindset, he would have said, "You know what? I'm not sharing." Anybody ever met a selfish little kid? That's like most of them, right? "This is mine." A lot of our kids, their first word is "mine." In fact, if you go to the nursery right now, I promise you one of them's jumping on the other one, and the teachers are trying, because they're trying to fight over one. Yeah, right. Your kids are all good. That's probably mine. You know, I understand. This is mine. Hey, you can't take this. My mom sent me with a Happy Meal. I got the deluxe taco Lunchable. Disgusting, right? But this little boy, he had the basket mindset. He had simple faith. And he said, even though it's all I have, if Jesus needs this, I'll just give it to him. And so Jesus took this humble lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He lifted it up to heaven, and he blessed it. We're talking this morning about the blessed life. Then miraculously, Jesus begins to break apart this little lunch. And before you know it, 5,000 men, and who knows how many women and children, had all eaten their fill. Don't miss this morning. First, there's an order. First, it was given to him. Second, it was blessed. And third, it was multiplied. See, so many of us, we're looking for step two without doing step one. We're like, God, I want you to bless my life, but I can't serve. God, won't you bless my finances? I've been in a hole forever. I can't give. But there's an order. We give it, then he blesses it, and then he multiplies it. Listen, in all areas of your life, the next blank in your outline, God wants you to give so that he can bless and multiply it. God can't bless and multiply what you aren't willing to give. And so that day when lunch was finished, I want you to see how God works. It would be an amazing miracle if all those people ate their food, but Jesus sent the disciples to gather up the leftovers. Anybody here like leftovers? Like, man, Thanksgiving leftovers, I'm looking forward to it. It's like just under 2 weeks away. If you haven't bought your turkey, you need to get it, right? PSA, we'll just throw that in the message right here, right? But he sends them out to look for the leftovers, and scriptures tell us that there were 12 baskets full of food left over. Watch this. This boy gave all he had, and God used it to meet the needs of others as well as his own needs. And that is the abundance of the God who will provide all the things that we need. And so it's my prayer that God would stretch our faith, that we'd move from the bag mindset, and instead that we would live in the basket mindset. When you're faithful with a little, he will give you more. And one day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, you know what? God didn't give me all of this to hoard it to myself, but he gave it to me so that I can be a blessing to others. About 5 years ago, we were in the pre-launch phase of the Lifeway Church. At that point, almost all of our meetings were held in the basement of my parents' condo. I know some of you have been there for some meetings. And so as they were building the house out, they had built this like built-in sort of shelving unit. And my boys were much littler than they are now. Now I don't think even one of them could fit it. But on the bottom shelf, they had this place, and it was their hiding spot, right? And so there was a curtain over it, and they would draw pictures and hang them up, and that was the boys' little spot. And so my parents, they made a tradition. As many of you know, my parents are missionaries to Africa. That any time that they would leave to go back overseas, they would go to that little hiding spot, and they'd throw some dollar bills down there, so that when the boys went over there for the next meeting, there would be something there that Grandma and Grandpa had left them. And so that day, we went for this meeting. My parents had just gone back a couple of weeks earlier, and so. So they immediately ran to the hiding spot and found their little drawings and stuff. And so they found their surprise. And so we were getting everything set up. Like, we were getting our little brochure set up and our little invite card set up. And we had this tiny little basket that we had, that just with our dream team, we were just, you know, asking people to sacrificially give and sow into the church plant. And I remember they went, and as soon as they got that money, both of the boys, Seth and Ethan, they picked it up and they walked over to where that basket was, and they put some of that money in the basket to help us launch the Lifeway Church. And as a parent, this was one of the proudest moments of my life, because I've got 2 boys who know that they have a father who is going to take care of their needs, and because of that, they could freely give. It's the basket mindset. I don't want my trust to be in the contents of a small dinky bag. Listen, God, you are a God of abundance. The earth is yours and everything in it. Lord, through you, all of my needs are going to be met. Amen. The third type of mindset. This is where I pray that in being faithful, God will allow all of us to experience this. I just wanted you to have a visual. Some of you may have already guessed because of the shape. But the third is the barn mindset. The barn mindset. The person who has the barn mindset knows that God isn't just more than enough. But the person who lives here knows that he is infinitely more than enough. Listen to this. Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." That problem that you're facing in your life right now today. That problem that keeps you holding on to the bag so tightly. I want you to hear me this morning. It is nothing for God. He can accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or even think. Deuteronomy 28:18 tells us, "The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand on." Two. God wants to move us from being faithful in the bag to being faithful in the basket. And I believe if we're faithful in those, that one day God will give you barns that are overflowing. A few series ago, we talked a lot about the story, the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, and he experienced this. He was hated by his brothers. He was thrown in a pit, left for dead. Then they drug him out and they sold him as a slave. But Joseph was faithful as a slave. He was faithful to Potiphar. And then he was falsely accused in Potiphar's home. And then he was thrown into prison and he was forgotten about, but he was faithful in prison. And watch this. God eventually elevated him to the palace. He was elevated to the second most powerful man in the entire world. And because of his faithfulness, God gave him the wisdom to stockpile food during the season of plenty. And so that when the time of severe famine came, his barns were overflowing and he was literally able to feed the entire nation of Egypt. And this is what I want you to hear this morning. God's provisions are recession-proof. I thought somebody would say amen to that. They're famine-proof. They're not predicted by the stock market. They are not dependent on which politicians win or lose the election. Somebody should say amen to that, because about half of us in this room are happy and the other half are sad this week. When we are faithful with our time, when we're faithful with our talent and our treasure, regardless of the season or situation that we're in, God will then position us and he will enable us. He will fill our barns to overflowing so that we can become a blessing to many, many people. Here's the deal. All of us would take the barn. This is a no-brainer, right? Everybody in this room says, well, I want the barn. But God wants to know, how much can he bless you with? Is your trust in him or is it in the bag? Is it in him or what's going to be in this basket, right? Can you say, God, even if the contents of this bag are all that I ever have, I realize that everything that I have is from you. This isn't all meant for me. Whatever you bless me with, Lord, I'm going to leverage it in such a way to be extraordinarily generous. Luke 16, verse 10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little." In other words, can you be trusted with what's in the bag? Can also be trusted with much. Can you be trusted with what's in the barn? Whoever is dishonest with very little, the bag will be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? In other words, God wants to know, can I trust you with a blessed life? Would an audit of your time reveal a heart of generosity spent serving others? Would an audit of your bank account reveal a heart like the little boy with his lunch who gave it to Jesus? Jesus tells a story about a man who had it all wrong. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, it says this: a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And so he said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all of my stuff." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it, eat, drink, and be merry.'" And really, this is what so many of us do today. We think that everything in the barn is for us. I need a bigger house, a newer car, the latest iPhone, nicer clothes, a boat, more vacations. It's for me. I don't want you to watch verse 20, but God said to him, "You fool. You will die this very night, then who will get everything that you worked for?" Verse 21, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." This is what I want you to understand from this story. I want you to see this because it'd be very easy to hear that and walk away with the negative impression of this story. But listen, God was not angry at this man because he was blessed. God was the one who blessed him. God was the one who gave it to him. He was angry because he didn't know how to be blessed. He thought that everything that had come into his life was there for him. This was a guy that had barn blessings with a bag mindset. And if I'm being honest, so many of us in this room, we battle with this. You may say, "Well, Andrew, I don't have a barn. I'm just poor little me. I got my little bag here. You're not talking to me. That must be all the other rich people in the church, right?" Actually, though, most of us in this room, we have a barn for our cars. If we compare our lives to a majority of the people that live on this earth, we have barn blessings, but we have a bag mindset. And the reason that we are not more blessed is because our actions reveal that we believe that it is more blessed to receive than it is to give. What mindset are you living in today? About 12 years ago, I went on a missions trip to Nigeria, and after a long day of meetings and services, we were invited back to the pastor's home, which is actually built on the back of the church auditorium, and I say that very loosely, no windows. It did have a roof. It did have walls. And as we walked back behind the church, it was dark. It was dim. And I was thinking, "Man, Lord, I'm so blessed. So much more blessed than all of these individuals. They had almost nothing, no toilets, no running water." I was there to shoot some video for a promotional video, and earlier that day, literally right outside the church, there were school-age kids, probably 12, 13 years old, carrying these big five-gallon buckets on their head, taking it home, having gone down to the stream, a place to get water. But as they led us back to the room, pastor's wife stood there with a smile. I promise you, it went from ear to ear. She welcomed us into this little cinder block, two-room house. Once again, very liberal term for house. Concrete floor, cinder blocks, one light bulb hanging off of just a wire in the middle of the room. And as I recall that night, they served us some sort of a chicken and a rice dinner. And immediately I thought, I can't eat this. I mean, I was terrified. It's not clean. It's not safe. I'm going to get typhoid. I'm going to get malaria. I mean, I was terrified. Like, I can't eat this. And I did whatever I could to eat a few bites. After we got home that evening, my parents asked me if I had noticed, "Hey, did you recognize, Andrew, that they didn't eat with us?" And I'm like, yeah, that's weird. Why didn't they eat with us? And they went on to explain that they didn't sit down to eat because they wanted to make sure that we had enough. In fact, the fact that they even served meat that day was a tremendous sacrifice for them because it's something that they can't afford to eat very often. I mean, my parents have told me stories that they'll do special, like, Bible school, like, basically field days where they'll have all these games. They'll do, like, the egg toss, and the students beg to be in the egg toss because they want to get the egg that breaks so they have something to eat. They've talked about serving chicken, and my mom would be shocked as she walked around to clean up and there's no bones left because they never get, it's such a delicacy to even have meat. They eat the bones and everything. And I thought to myself, here I am, a man who has everything and they have nothing yet. They were so happy and they were so honored to have us in their home. They brought out their best and they were content to go to sleep hungry that night in the event that we ate everything. Even though they didn't have anything of material value, the reason they had a smile on their face from ear to ear, the reason that they were fulfilled because they had found the blessing in giving. This morning, I'm not teaching about giving of your time, talent, and treasure. Like I said a few minutes ago, because we want something from you. Listen, the earth is the Lord's. God took care of this church before you came, and he's going to, you know, if God chooses to move you on someday, he's going to take care of this church after you move on. This is all because God has something so special for you. You don't have to live a stressed out life. He wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live a blessed life so that we can have a heart of generosity that we can take out and literally transform our community. That we would carry the attitude that says, God, I'll serve. I'll go. God, I'm willing to be your hands and feet. Lord, I'll give sacrificially just so somebody else can walk into a church and raise their hand and say, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior for the very first time. Listen, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So as I close this morning, I want to share with you the greatest act of generosity the world has ever seen. John 3:16, the most famous verse of Scripture probably in the entire Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave his one and only Son. I want you to hear me this morning. You may say, well, I don't like that generosity talk. Listen, the foundation of the gospel is built on the spirit of generosity. And today there are some in the room who realize, you know what? I'm not really walking with God. I'm not in a vibrant relationship with him. You're not even sure where you stand with him. Listen, I want you to know that God loves you so much that he left his throne in the heavens. He robed himself in flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, he was born. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He shed his blood on a cross. He died and he rose again. Why did he do this? All to be the perfect sacrifice. The final sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins and my sins. And all we have to do to get a fresh start, to get a clean slate, to say, you know what, Jesus, I give you my life. Think about it. What an exchange. Our garbage, our mess, our junk. Okay, God, you take that. I'm going to get eternal life. If you want to find your life, Scripture says you must lose it. You must give it all to God. And I believe that there are those of you today in this room that the Lord has brought you here for this moment right now. The Holy Spirit is reaching out to you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If that's your prayer today, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, I want you just to lift your hands right now so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. This is the greatest decision. Thank you. Thank you. I see you there in the back. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, you see every hand that's raised. Lord God, today we commit to move towards you. Lord, the biblical word is repent, and all that simply means is, God, we're going to stop going our own direction, and instead we're going to make an about face, and we're going to turn towards you. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, we give our lives to you. Everything, Lord, take it all. Thank you for new life today, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that was shed for me. Lord God, we thank you for clean slates all across this room today. And Lord Jesus, I pray over us as an entire church family today, every person that's here under the sound of my voice, God, that we would just take a moment and that we would reflect and take a look at our generosity meter. Where is our time going? Where is our talent going? Where is our treasure going? Lord Jesus, have we become stingy? Are we living in the bag mindset? And if so, Lord God, I pray that you'd release us to move into the basket and even into the barn, Lord God, that the world would be changed because of our generosity. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.